At this time, I would like to introduce our speaker for today's session, Margaret Gounselin, who is a social science analyst at the VA Information Resource Center, who is a sociologist who earned her degree from the University of Virginia in 2005 and comes to the VA after being an associate professor in the California State University system.
Thank you, Melissa, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. As you know, we will be talking about some basic SQL starter language in today's talk, entitled Getting the Information You Need from CDW. Before I begin, I would like to take a minute to thank Richard Pham for his continued support and assistance, and my colleagues here at VIREC who were instrumental in making this cyber seminar happen. Thank you. As Melissa mentioned, today is a follow-up to the two previous talks given in this series. The first one, First Time Research User's Guide to CDW, was about a conceptual overview of the relational database, the corporate data warehouse, and the various elements found within a corporate data warehouse such as this one. And then the second one was Seeing the Data When You Can't See the Data, which focused on documentation of the corporate data warehouse, where you could find it and how to best use it. So if you haven't seen those, they would assist you in being able to write the queries that we will discuss in today's talk. Before we begin talking about the actual SQL queries, we will discuss a few key terms and their definitions that are important in understanding the lecture. And then we will move into the basic SQL queries and how to use them to get information out of the corporate data warehouse. So before we begin, I'd like to make sure that you feel familiar with what a production domain is versus a raw domain in CDW. Production domains, as we've discussed in the two previous talks, contain tables that have been structured by database architects to support their rejoining. So they've added primary and foreign keys, if you remember from the first talk, to assist people who are trying to rejoin those tables and make that job easier and more straightforward. The information found in the raw domains of the corporate data warehouse contain tables that are more direct extracts from the source system. A common source system for CDW is VISTA, which is the Veterans Health Information System and Technology Architecture. It's an information system that holds the VA's electronic health record. So what the raw domains are doing is taking the source system from mostly VISTA and simply housing it with little to no editing being performed on them. They are not creating these joining keys. We're not joining anything today. That's more of an intermediate level skill, and this is the starter SQL language discussion. So how this becomes important for today's talk is to look at these types of domains and remember that the way that they have named their tables and their columns differ. And so when we're writing queries, it may look a little bit different when we are writing a query for columns and views in the production domain versus the raw domain. So that's why I'm mentioning that here now. A few more definitions, just to make sure everyone is feeling comfortable and familiar, and remembers from the previous talks that CDW stands for Corporate Data Warehouse. It is a relational database that contains significant portions of the VA's electronic health record, among other data. Also, just a reminder, VINCI is the VA Informatics and Computing Infrastructure. They do a lot of things at VINCI, but in part, the part that's important for today's talk, they provide a remote server and the software that people would use to look into the corporate data warehouse and a copy of the corporate data warehouse. And so many users of the CDW use it and access it through the remote server provided by Vinci. Also, SQL, which stands for Structured Query Language, is a programming language used to retrieve information from a relational database, such as the corporate data warehouse. The part that we're really introducing new today is SQL Server Management Studio, or SSMS. This is the computer software that can be used to write and execute SQL code. It's not the only software that can be used, but it's the one that the VA supports, and you can find it in the on the Vinci server available for use. Now, there's a couple of things to consider about this talk that I'm listing here. The first one is that this talk already assumes that you have been granted at least basic access to the corporate data warehouse, and that you have access to SQL Server Management Studio and you're ready to open it. So that's the stage that we're starting at today. Also, I want to point out that the examples that we use throughout this talk are really, you know, oversimplified material from the CDW, because the purpose of the talk is to illustrate the logic of SQL, not to demonstrate a sort of viable research investigation. A real research question in the end would, of course, be much more complicated than anything we'll talk about today. But the logic of SQL will remain the same no matter how complicated you get. So all of these basic principles about the logic of SQL that we discussed today should be applicable as you move forward into more complex research investigations. But today's talk will allow you to look at the content of the corporate data warehouse for any tables that you have been granted permission to see. So by the end of this talk, I hope that the attendee would have a basic understanding of SQL if they do not already have it, be able to read a simple SQL query, and of course be able to write a simple SQL query. For both production tables and raw tables of the corporate data warehouse. So we will have two examples today, one on the production table and the other one on a raw. Before we begin to launch into the actual SQL lesson, I'd like to ask you about your CDW experience. How would you rate your level of experience with CDW data on a scale of 1 to 5? 1 being not having worked with CDW at all, up to 5 being very experienced with CDW. And I think I'll turn it over to Heidi for the poll.
Yes, responses are coming in. We'll give you all just a few more moments before I close the poll and show the results. I'm waiting for things to slow down a little bit, and it looks like I'm going to close things out. And we are seeing 38% saying they have not worked with it at all, 34% rating themselves at a 2, 18% rating themselves at a 3, 9% saying a 4, and 1% saying they are very experienced with CDW. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Yes, thank you for answering our question. For all of the beginning people out there, I did intend to make this talk applicable to you and hopefully approachable and understandable. So you are in the right place, and hopefully you will find some assistance in beginning to use SQL today. So beginning with an example from the production domain, we have chosen for today's talk a table called dim.icd9. So when you first go into wanting to use SQL Server Management Studio, you would, of course, double-click on the icon or go to your programs list and find it, wherever you may have access to it. And when you open up the software, it will initially look like this. you will see on the left-hand side of your screen the Object Explorer, and to the right-hand side a sort of blocked out blue square. Now I want to point out that for my access, I happen to have access to this particular server that you see here in the top left-hand side under Object Explorer, highlighted in blue, but you would be given access to whatever server was appropriate for getting the data that you have been given permission to. So that could be a server overseen by Vinci. If you are an operations person like I am, it might be the same one as me here, AO1, but you would be given the name of your server and would have logged in to that server at this point, and you would see its name here on the left rather than the one that I happen to be using. But it will look otherwise exactly the same as this. So one thing I want to point out is this button here in the menu called New Query. This button is the one that you will press to open a window instead of the big blue block that you see on the right. It would turn into a white window that you would want to type your queries into. So this is usually the first button that I press when I come into SQL Server Management Studio. Another important place to focus your attention will be on the folder called Databases. We will look for our data inside this folder by expanding the little plus sign next to it eventually. So let's begin. Now, one of the things that you can do, as I just mentioned, is expand the databases folder. When you do expand it, you will see typically on most of these servers a long list of databases will open up, and you will be searching for your database of interest. Anyone with basic CDW access should be able to find a folder in this list for a database called CDW Work. Now, we can't see it on the screen that we're looking at right now. We would need to scroll down a little bit, but anyone, as I mentioned, who's been given basic access to CDW should be able to find this folder. The example that I chose today is also fairly universally available to people with basic CDW access. So I chose a dimension table that will be housed in CDW Work for most people with all of the, you know, basic access. No special access would be required. So hopefully this will be an applicable example to most people in the audience. Okay, so now I have pressed the New Query button, and I see a big white window in the middle of my SQL Server Management Studio screen. That is where I will eventually be typing my actual queries. I also want to point out, in Object Explorer, under CDW Work, I have selected to expand a smaller folder listed under there called Views. I have done this instead of selecting the folder directly above it called Tables. That is because for most end users, we will not be accessing the actual table in CDW. We will be accessing a view of that table. However, this doesn't tend to make any difference. For me, as a person who's relatively new to this environment, it looks like a table. It has columns. It has rows. It's just called a view. So I just need to remember to expand the list of views rather than the list of tables, and I move forward. Now, one little trick that comes in handy for people before you begin to write your own SQL query, you can actually use a little automatic query, if you will, that's available in SQL Server Management Studio. So step one would be to find your view of interest from the list in Object Explorer. And again, today we chose dim.icd9. And we would right mouse click on the name of that view, and a drop-down menu would appear, such as the one you see here on the left. in Object Explorer where we could select the top 1,000 rows. So that's what I have selected, and then what happens is this automatic query gets written into the query window. Now, you can see this query starts with the word select and then top 1,000. So it's the first 1,000. They're not in any particular order as far as I know. The first 1,000 rows in the table. And then you see a list of each one of the columns that exist in that table. And then in that automatic query, you see the word from. And after that is where the information is being gotten from in the query. So we're going to go through how to write this and what this means, but I wanted you to notice that you have this option for an automatic query to be written. It's very simple with your select statement and your from statement for the first 1,000 rows that happen to be in the table. And you get some automatic results seen here on the bottom right-hand side of the screen. So this will be the first 1,000 rows that appear in that view. So let's learn how to write our own select and from statement rather than using the automatic one that we can get by right mouse clicking. Okay. The command select allows a programmer, as we just saw, to list the columns, which can also be called variables in the research world, that they would like to see in the results of their query. So we would start with the command select, and then we would begin to list each one of the columns, separating them each by a comma. Now, the one rule is to remember not to put a comma after the last column in your list. And if you do, they'll give you an error message that's pretty easy to understand, and you just go take the comma away. We also always in any query are going to need the from command. And this selects the appropriate view from which the columns will be collected. And the way that we write this out typically is to start with the database that it's in, a period, put the schema, a period, and then the name of the view. So let's take a look at this in context. So here we are inside SQL Server Management Studio. We have scrolled down in Object Explorer on the far left-hand side of the screen until we've found our table or view, in this case, of interest, dim.icd9, and I have expanded the list of columns in it. Now, ideally, you would want to look in the metadata reports or the documentation of CDW to find out what each one of these columns or variables mean before you start to use them. But for the purposes of today's talk, to save time, we are just going to assume that that step has happened and move forward. So looking at our dim.icd9, we will make our selection of which columns we are going to include in our select statement. So for the purposes of our example, I have chosen ICD-9 code, ICD-9 description, and MDC. In case these acronyms are unfamiliar, MDC stands for Major Diagnostic Category, and ICD stands for International Classification of Diseases. Here's the form of our SQL query, and we will use our select statement first. So we start with the word select, we name our first column of choice, put a comma after it, name our second column of choice, put a comma after it, name our third, which happens to be our last column in this example, and then we do not put a comma after that. Then we begin our from statement, and we say which database it's going to come from, what the schema is. In this case, it's a dimension table, so DIM will be our schema, and then we name our view. And we always end our SQL queries with a semicolon. So as you can see here, right now it looks small, but I'm about to blow this up. we have typed our query, our basic query here, in our query window, and then we would want to press the execute button. Don't forget to press your execute button. So I'm going to make this bigger so we can all see it together. And we have selected our first column, ICD-9, comma, selected our second column after that, ICD-9 description, another comma, MDC, no comma, from CDWWork, that's our database, .dim, that's our schema, .ICD-9, that's our view. Then on the bottom right-hand side, after we press execute, we would see these results come up in the window. And as you can see, we have a bunch of columns and rows, just like we would expect to see in a SAS data set or a Excel spreadsheet. These number over 2 million rows in the results window. Now, one of the things that we can learn to do next is to ask for our results to come in order, so we could decide which one of these columns would be good to order by. And I'm about to show you an example of that. We will use the command in SQL called order by. This command allows the programmer to see the results in alphanumeric order based on whichever column or columns, you could have multiple, that he or she would choose. It's important to remember that there's a rule pertaining to the command order by. It must be the last command in any query. So already we have our select statement that we just went over and our from statement. So order by needs to come after it. And you can see it written out here in the form, order by, and then you choose whichever column you wish to order by, or you can add a comma and order by more than one column, and you end with your semicolon. So putting this in the context of our example for today, I just went ahead and blew up the code right away, but you can see where it was really typed, and you can know that we've already pressed that execute button. All right, so we selected our same three columns from our same view, and we've added our statement to order by the ICD-9 code. So now it will go, it's defaulting to ascending order to the smallest number that represents the ICD-9 code to the largest, but it wouldn't do that in SAS. In SAS, if you were trying to write a proc SQL statement, I'm told that you would need to add whether you wanted it to be ascending or descending, just in case you do that later. But today is all about actually working within SQL Server Management Studio, so I'm trying to just stay to a clear path on that topic. So one of the things I would like to point out about the results as they appear at the moment, we do see our ICD-9 codes in order, and when we put them in order, we can see that they are repeating. You can see here that 971.0 repeats, and then right after that, 971.1 also repeats, and so forth. So one of the commands in SQL will allow us to sort of collapse these like entries and eliminate that repetition. The command that will allow this to happen is called group by. The group by command will collapse all the identical values into a single entry or row, rather than allowing the repetitive rows to exist in the output of our query. Now, remembering that the order by statement is supposed to be the last one in the query, we would want to put our group by clause before it. Another important consideration when using the group by phrase is to think about which of your measures are aggregate and which are not, because when you add a group by clause into your query, you will need to put the name of every column that is not aggregate already, aggregated already into that group by cause. Now, what do I mean by aggregated? That is a column that represents a sum or an average or minimum or maximum value, these sorts of things. So let's take a look at how it plays out in our example. We would add a line called group by, but remember, not at the end, before the order by statement, because order by needs to be last. And any one of our columns that isn't a sum or an average or some kind of aggregate measure will need to be listed in our group by statement if it is listed in our select statement. So looking at this in the context of dim.icd9, we can see that we have selected the three columns, ICD-9 code, ICD-9 description, and MDC. None of these are aggregate measures. None of them are sums or averages or something like that. So we must, if we're going to keep them all three in the select statement, include all three of them in the group by statement. And it will collapse like values in the combination of all three of these columns. So you, all of your like ICD-9 codes will be grouped together. But let's say that the same ICD-9 code had two different descriptions associated with it. Then you would see two separate rows for that ICD-9 code, and the same goes with MDC. So it's collapsing based on the combination of all three columns at this point. So now we can see that there are approximately 16,000 rows in our output. We can see right now that the ICD code of 971 it has its own individual single row, and all like values are collapsed within it. Another function that SQL allows us to perform is to count how many times we see the same information repeated in any given view or table. So we'll learn about that next. The function that will allow us to do this is called the count function. It can be added to the select phrase in the query, and it will then create a new column that sums up the amount of times each value exists in the column of choice. Now, because this new column created by the count function is a sum, this means it's an aggregate measure, the programmer will be obligated to include the group by clause in the query for any other columns in the select statement that are not aggregate columns. Another thing that we'll have to add into our query, or that we should for good practice, not really have to, it's not, it will not cause your query to fail if you don't do this, but it's considered good practice, is the little command called as, and this allows for us to give a name to the new column that we are creating when we use the count function. So we're creating that sum, and we would be able to give it a name using as. So let's see how that works. Okay, so here we have the query that we've become familiar with in the talk. We have a select statement with our three columns, but now we've added a comma after the third column, and then we put the function in count, and then we use parentheses, and we are going to choose the column that we want to count by, and then we see the phrase as, and the FREQ is just a name that I came up with, but you could put any name in the place of FREQ that you would wish to name this column. I chose this to stand for frequency because it was a count. But you could call it anything you'd like. And then the rest of our query will take on the familiar form saying from which database in view. And then we will definitely need to keep the group by statements and include any columns from the select statement that weren't aggregate measures. So in this case, we have column 1, 2, 3 in our form, and then order by, whichever column we wish. This is not necessary, but I'm keeping it in to build a more robust query at this point. Okay, so showing you in the context of our example, we have our select statement, and you can see in red the section that we added for the count. And we've named the new column FREQ, and everything else in this query is the same as before, and you will notice the group by will include the three columns from the select statement that are not aggregate, and we see the results column come out on the bottom of our screen in SQL Server Management Studio. And we can look again at the same one that we've been using as an example for ICD-9 971.0. We see the description there, and then the major diagnostic category, and a frequency of 130, because we know that 130 Vista systems send their information in, and it is collected in the CDW, so that number is expected. Now we'll move on to a new statement called the WHERE statement. The WHERE command allows a user to limit their search to include only a chosen subset of the data. So if we only wanted to see the ICD-9 code 309.81, which is indicative of post-traumatic stress disorder, we could ask for that in a WHERE statement. Now, it's important to be careful to know what type of data you're dealing with in the warehouse, because even though right now 309.81 does look like a number, you do need to make sure that it is not a string or character before you go forward with writing your WHERE statement. So let's check on it. In SQL Server Management Studio, under the Object Explorer, we can look under the view dim.icd9 and see a list of all the columns in the column folder and find the one of interest to us today, ICD-9 code, and then in parentheses it describes the kind of variable that it is. You can see that here in the red circle. So we see VARCHAR. I've heard people pronounce that VARCHAR, and this stands for a character or string of variable length. And then the 50 that you see in the parentheses is indicating the maximum number of characters that can be entered into that string. Some of the other examples in this particular list of columns that you can see here are just a simple CHAR, which is a string of fixed length, and then whatever number comes after it would be that length. Then we see INT stands for integer. It will hold up to 4 bytes of information. And then small INT, which is another integer, but it holds only up to 2 bytes of information. And then date for dates. There are many other examples out there. So why are we looking at that? We're looking at the type of data that we have because we're trying to decide which is the best way to write our WHERE statement. We're trying to decide between writing the word like in the WHERE statement or using the equal sign in the WHERE statement. Typically, like is used when you have a string variable, and equal signs are used when you have numeric variables. So we have a string variable, and we are going to choose like for today's example in our WHERE phrase. Now, we will have a rule about how to write our string characters of interest for our ICD-9 code or anything else, and that will be to put single quotes around the characters that you are looking for. With numeric values, you would not have quotes around those values. So looking at our example today, we would have our select and our from statement, and then in our where statement, we would have where our column of interest is like whatever value in these single quotes. So putting that in context, we would write our where statement, where ICD-9 code like the 309.81. Now I have a note down here, but not enough time to really get into it, about in actual research concerns about varieties of entries and use of wildcards. So if you are looking into this further, you may want to take note of that. But we'll move on for today's purposes. So before we move into the raw example, I wanted to ask you one more poll question to tell me a little bit about yourself. Which of the following best describes your role in the VA? Research investigator or PI, data manager or analyst, project coordinator, operations, or other? And I believe I'll turn it over to Heidi again.
Yes, we'll give everyone just a few more moments to finish responding there and go through the results. Looks like we are starting to slow down. We'll give you all just a few more seconds before I close it out. Okay, and we are seeing 10% saying research investigator or PI, 45% saying data manager or analyst, 15% saying project coordinator, 8% saying operations, and 22% saying other. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Yes. Thank you very much for participating, and it's great to have all of you here. So next I'm going to go through the really exact same set of steps, so we'll move more quickly through the second half, for a raw domain, for a view in the raw domain that is holding the same or equivalent information as we just looked at. So in this case, our example will be to look at DIM.ICD9-diagnosis-80. Notice the difference in the way that it's named. That's the major difference. At this simple level of SQL, there really isn't any significant difference in the way that you're going to work with a production domain versus a raw domain. And I wanted to specifically show you how easy it is to apply the same SQL basic commands in both situations, because when I first started to use CDW, I found the raw domains, people would talk about them in a way that made them seem quite intimidating. And I realize now that as long as you're just looking at the content, there certainly isn't any significant difference to worry about, and I'll show you why here. Okay, so whenever you're in the raw domain, what's different so far is that I'm on a different server, and you would be on a different server than if you were in the production domain too. It may not be this exact same server that you see here on the top left-hand side of Object Explorer, depending on what sort of access you have. But nevertheless, so far, it's still SQL Server Management Studio. You still see a list of databases on the left. And nothing really looks any different. And so we will still focus our attention on new query and on database. So when we expand databases on the raw server now, we will still look down, we will still find CDW work and expand that particular folder to look for our dimension table. When we click the new query button, we will still see a white window open in the middle, and we will still scroll down within CDW work looking for our view of interest, DIM.ICD9-diagnosis-80. And just noticing this list on the left, it looks different because the naming traditions are much closer to their origins in Vista and have not been renamed by the architects of the CDW the way that they have rename things when they've architected the material found in the production domains. Again, you can still run your automatic query by right-mouse clicking on the view of interest and selecting top 1,000 rows, you will still see your automatic query be written in the white window to the top right, and you will still see your automatic results come out on the right bottom-hand side of SQL Server Management Studio. We will repeat the steps for select and from. We select the columns of interest from our view of choice, and we name them just the same. It's just the names look a little bit different now. And we also need to remember to end with our semicolon. So here in the raw server, I'm going to look at the columns that I found in DEM ICD-9 Diagnosis 80. And I'm going to select the ones I'm going to work with in today's example. So I'm going to pick code number, which is the ICD-9 code, diagnosis, a description. And this is a longer description called description, and major diagnostic category again. Okay, so I'm going to type my query with a select statement and a from statement. I expand this for you. And you can see now the only difference from last time is I have 4 columns instead of 3. Nothing about the logic of SQL has changed. I'm going to list all 4 of those columns in my select statement, and I'm going to separate each one of them with a comma, except I will not put a comma after the last one, just like before. And then I'm going to say I want that to be from CDW work. That's my database. DEM, that's my schema, and the name of my view, ICD-9 Diagnosis 80, and end with my semicolon. So, no difference at all. We see over 11 million results appear from this raw view, and again, we're going to go forward and put them in order using our order by statement, remembering that we must put order by as the last command in the query. We will just proceed exactly the same as we did before with the production data. We will list our 4 columns this time from our raw view of the ICD-9 codes and order by our column of choice. So, in the red here, you can see our new line of code will be to order by code underscore number. That's the ICD-9 code in the raw view. So, once again, if we take a look at these results, we will see the repetition in these code numbers, and we can get rid of them and collapse the like values the same way that we did before using group by. So, we will collapse our repeated entries. We will remember that order by still needs to be the last in the commands of the query. We will remember that every column that is not aggregate must be included in the group by clause. So, in this case, our group by clause is going to have all 4 of our columns because none of them were sums or minimums or maximums or averages. So we will include all 4 of the columns we selected in the group by clause. So here we are. In our select statement, we see our 4 columns listed. Notice that the spacing is different now because I mostly ran out of room on the line. SQL does not care how you space. It will just ignore spaces. So you can space your code any way you like. So select the 4 columns of interest from the view of interest, and we group by all 4, and then in this case, we're still ordering by our ICD-9 code. There are now about 101,000 rows of data in this view. Okay. So, what we're going to do now is recreate that same count function in the context of this raw data view and create our frequency table. So again, we are going to use as And we're going to assign the name of FREQ, but again, you could assign any name to this count that you wished. We are also going to remember to use the group by clause for all non-aggregate measures in our query. And it will take on the exact same form as before, except now we are counting after column 4 instead of after column 3. And we will group by all 4 non-aggregate columns from the raw selection that we made. So we see our select statement now has in the red text the count added, and we are counting the number of ICD-9 codes and giving them the resulting column the name FREQ. Right. We now have the equivalent of our frequency table coming out as our output to this query when we execute it. Remember, we have to hit that execute button. So I'm focusing our attention with this little red mark here on 309.81, the ICD-9 code for 309.81, to show you that when there is a variety of diagnoses or descriptions or major diagnostic categories associated with the code, we will see repetition of that code come out in our results set. So let's take a closer look at that exact result set, just looking at that smaller subset that we define in a WHERE statement. So we are going to select only the ICD-9 code, which is represented by the column code underscore number of 309.81 for post-traumatic stress disorder. Again, we are going to check to see whether it is character or string before we write our WHERE statement, because you can never be too careful. So when we take a look at code number, we see varchar, again, which is a string of variable length, the maximum length of 8,000. So the typical choice is like rather than an equal sign in the WHERE statement. So we're putting it all together now. We're going to include WHERE, group by, order by, along with our select and from this time. Okay. So notice order by still last. Group by is still going to have every non-aggregate measure in it. From still names our database. Select still lists all our columns and adds our count. And WHERE is going to have the single parentheses around our 309.81. Okay, so we have now included the actual CDW column names and database names in this query, and the red line is our new line of data with a code number like single quote 309.81, and we see our result set is simply the three repeating 309.81s and their corresponding diagnosis description, MDC, and frequency. And so you can see in some general sense that this is a bit more raw than the production ones that we looked at earlier, if you will. So to summarize, these basic commands form the core of most SQL queries. Now, you can get much fancier than this, but anytime you want to look at data, this will be enough for you to have a look at any data that you have access to. And using this basic structure, you should be able to explore the content anywhere in CDW, production or raw. And just to let you know, the goal of the next cyber seminar will be to show how to combine columns from multiple views, because today's talk was all only about looking at one view at a time and a couple of columns within that view. So, in other words, the next talk will be about using join in SQL. If you would like to contact me after this for any specific questions, you'll find the information on this slide. And for today's session, I'll be happy to take a few questions.
Thank you very much for the excellent presentation. If there are multiple questions that have come in,
I've selected a few due to time, and we'll try to answer the remaining offline. But the first question actually came in from three different people, so I thought it would be important for you to address, and that is a question about metadata. And where can we find metadata to explain or describe the database before we start running queries?
Okay. Go ahead. Yes, the previous talk that I gave, let me bring it back up here. Seeing the data when you can't see the data is stored on the intranet site for VIREC, I believe, or is it, I'm not sure, Heidi, is it also out on the CIDR site?
It's out on the Cyber Seminar Archive Catalog, and anyone who doesn't have that link, the archive notice that's sent out within the next few days, that link will get you to that archive, so you'll be able to find this information out there.
All right, thank you. So inside there, what I attempted to do was walk a new user through all of the various locations where you can find documentation of the data found in the corporate data warehouse. It is a bit of a diverse set, depending on whether you are dealing with production data or raw data. You will really find the most help in different places from each other. So, you know, with raw data, you would end up spending most of your time with the data architecture repository, because the documentation of the source data in Vista is the most comprehensive data, but there's also some good documentation of raw domains out on Vinci as well. With production data, you have more choices. Of course, the metadata on CDW's SharePoint site, but also we have documentation at VIREC of various sorts, and sometimes going back to the DAR is also really important. So I go through all those steps in seeing the data when you can't see the data.
Great, thank you very much. Another popular question is, can you save the results from a query? Or can they saved or be exported or saved elsewhere outside of CDW?
Well, I think it depends on if you're dealing with PHI or sensitive information. You can save the result set of a query in a protected space. I think you just literally go and save it from within SQL Server Management Studio. You can also copy a result set and put it into an Excel file, but you wouldn't want to take any chances with, I think, any kind of PHI or any kind of sensitive information. So I would definitely, I think that kind of a question becomes, it depends very much on what exactly you're trying to save in a new location. But I think simply here on the top left-hand side, you can save result sets that you create into files named, or you can copy the result set literally by selecting the content and pulling it into an Excel file. But I would be careful and sort of want to talk to people about privacy issues and maintaining security and all that sort of stuff before thinking about saving it somewhere.
Okay, great. And the last question I'll bring up for today, it was also asked by a few different people, is when would you want to use the raw versus the production data, and what are some of the pros and cons versus for using both of the domains?
So there's different information. Although the example I gave today showed you two ICD-9 tables, there's different information stored in production domains than in raw. So, for example, right now, surgery is a raw domain, and there's not a ton of surgery information housed in the, among the production data. So if you wanted to do a detailed study on surgeries, you and UCDW, you would write, as of this moment, be forced to use raw data from the raw domain. So it's literally different data. There's oncology data, IV drug data in the raw domain, not nearly in the kind of detail that you would find there could you get it, any kind of information out of production on those same topics. So you might be able to find cancer patients in the production domain with some diagnoses, but you wouldn't be able to find this detailed oncology information, because that's a raw domain at the moment. So I think it's literally like people are, looking for, say, radiology data. That's not a production domain. It's a raw domain, and that's how they end up working in the raw domains. The pros and cons of them, really, you can't see a significant difference from the perspective of today's talk, because all of the simple SQL commands, as you can see from today's talk, work exactly the same in production and raw. So there's no big difference in that regard. But once you start to try and join multiple tables together to do sophisticated research analysis of some sort, then you start to see the difference, I think, between production data and raw data. Remembering that the primary reason for creating production domains are to architect them in such a way, and that just means to build them in such a way that it supports rejoining those tables back together. So that's made quite a bit easier by the architects of CDW. In the raw domains, when it's just pulled from Vista, which is also a relational database, the joins are not as easy, not as straightforward. So it's in the joining that you start to see the difference and start to feel the difference.
Okay, thank you very much. Due to time, I'm going to have to hold off of the remaining questions, and we'll try to answer as many as we can offline. But I would like to thank Dr. Gunslin again for taking the time to develop and present this talk. And we encourage you to forward any remaining questions to our presenter or to VIREC's help desk at VIREC@va.gov. We will be rebroadcasting the session again on Thursday. And then we will, in the future, be presenting another session on CDW, relating to CDW, a hands-on guide to multiple measures in national databases. And we can hope you can join us to that session. Lastly, we will be pulling up a brief evaluation questionnaire, which we encourage you to complete before we close the session. And we thank you again for joining us today.
Yes, thank you everyone for joining us. I'm going to close the meeting out here in just a moment. When I close that out, you will be prompted with a feedback form. Like Melissa said, please take a few moments to fill that out. We really do read through all of your comments. But thank you, everyone, for joining us for today's session, and we hope to see you at a future HSR&D Cyber Seminar. Thank you.